Shall we turn to John chapter 6? This morning we will have two texts running, but we will consider John chapter 6. We will draw another contrast with that of Exodus chapter 16, but our main text this morning is in Acts chapter 6. We will read some few verses, then we will see what we have for this morning. But the subject for this morning gospel service is food for the soul. Food for the soul. And we read from John 6, 47 to 51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. In this chapter, there are a lot of things that happened. This chapter from verse 1 to 14 is where one of our Lord's miracles was recorded, where he fed over 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fishes. So, and as we have always known, the purpose of our Lord's miracles are always to demonstrate something beyond just the physical. It has deeper meaning, which are taught in the scriptures. The Eka and Opeinu say, you may find example in John chapter 6, 47 to 51. John chapter 6, you know, I've been a course now from verse 1 to 14. No, this crystal here, and what JB or the Abodo and Nam Mienu, Eman, Pabe, 5,000. And our selected text for this morning gospel sermon was spoken by our Lord during a conversation he had after the incidents of the miracle. If you follow the verse we read, you remember that some of the people came to where he had fed the people, and then they wanted to come and see the Lord, and they saw that he was not there, neither the disciples, and they also took a ship to where he was, and when they met him, And there's a conversation that ensues. So this is part of that conversation. And the conversation after this part was between them, as some of them were after Christ for a reason, maybe to have more of the bread. And the Lord has to reprove them and all that, which we will look after as we go on. You know, in this also that Christ, when they ask him of the bread, and they continue discussing with him, and they told Jesus Christ that our fathers had manna in the wilderness. I don't know if they were comparing to the bread Christ has given them. And he told them that, yes, we had bread in the wilderness, and he began to teach them. So this verse is part of the thing he will use to teach them, that he is the actual bread that gives life. So this is what we are going to look into this morning. So he mentioned the manna, and we know that the manna was a food that God gave them, that they ate from that time till they got into the border of Canaan. So for all the years they were wandering in the wilderness, God fed them with the manna. So you see that it was a food that sustained them through the journey. So at this point, if you look at verse 27 of our text, John chapter 6, you see that the Lord told them that when he saw that these people were interested in the bread and just to feed themselves and to be happy with that, he said that labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. He told them that these people are interested not in anything beyond the food that you had. But he said that we shouldn't worry ourselves. We took a ship from all this long place to come to this place to have more of the bread for your bodies. He said that no. And he said that labor not for that wheat, for that food that perishes. And he would tell them why he told them that. He said this because he knew that these people's interests were in the bread and the fish. And that they were following him not because they saw that the miracle portrayed that he is God, or that there's something beyond the physical bread that they can have for their soul. No, they were not thinking of that. So this whole interest was in the bread still. And though this is not the main thing we are going to discuss this morning, but it's something which comes before, and it's good to understand the background so that we can move on to our main subject. So we can ask this question. Are these people not a picture of many today who seek after Christ only for worldly advantages? These people had a food. They are following Christ again. And Christ did not come to this world to just give food to people so that people will eat and be satisfied. There are many today in our world. Why are many people going to church today? If you ask average person going to church, yeah, he must say, oh yes, oh, that's my sin for giving me, or maybe having whatever. But the main motive is that maybe I'm sick. I need a job. I need my marriage, my business prosperity, whatever. So I want God to bless me. That's the common thought, people what we put across. I knew of a woman. She had a daughter. I think the daughter was my senior at school, maybe in GSS or so. The daughter got ill. So she dropped from school. This woman traveled from one prophet to the other, all because she wants cure for the daughter. Over 10 years and over, the daughter died, and not years after, the woman also has died. So ask yourself, what was it? And this is just one of the cases. Many people will travel land and sea to seek for maybe when I'm sick, maybe some prophet is here, some healer is here, but not that they are going after this man or that man so that they will know something for their life. No, people will risk everything for their body, so that the body will be well. Marriage, as I said, my business is not going on well. And nowadays, it's very common with charismatic preaching, everything is about business. God saves us to give us business so that we prosper in this world. Whatever they teach is opposite of what the Bible teaches. Even Christ himself, who did the miracles, did it beyond, his intention was beyond the physical. It's to teach a spiritual lesson. Okay, so if these things are what many people seek after, then indeed, if many don't repent, they will go to hell. Because this will not lead anybody to have anything for the soul. And you know, the soul feeds only on Christ. For the soul to be alive, it should feed only on Christ. So a person living in this world without the soul leaning on Christ, it's starved. It's something that will go on to eternal damnation. Because finally, when you die out of this world and the body is separated and the soul goes, there's no opportunity to come to Christ again. And your soul will finally be damned. And there's no opportunity to come to Christ again. It will be there in suffering while there's no support from Christ. So, we move on to our main subject this morning. This was before, so it's good to have the background. Whatever we're seeking for more bread, and Christ has to improve them. So we look at our verses that we read from 47 to 51. This verse, our Lord Jesus Christ began again to his teaching, because along the line, they asked another question, so he paused on the issue of the bread. So he picked up again from verse 47. So in these verses, the Lord teaching was teaching that he is the object of our saving faith, and the bread of life from heaven, which he compares with the manna. So he brought the manna in which God fed the Israelites in the wilderness. So you see, he comparing himself with the manna, and then to teach them the lesson. So this is where we have these verses 47 to 51. So what is the manna? You know, the manna was a type of Christ as a heavenly food to support the Israelites, as I said before, on their journey from where they were to the land of Canaan. And it is something that teaches us that what? The bread of life, the spiritual life of the believer, the life that keeps
the believer to eternity.
These people had a manna from where they were, and they kept them. They ate it day after day. It led them. So Canaan is a picture of heaven, and the bread is a picture, it's a type of Christ. And in the Bible, when we study the tithes is sometimes a person or some an act that happened, that prefigure what Christ will come and do. So the manna was a type of Christ, and it represents that. So with this on the background, I'll let us consider this thing in three heads. Firstly, we'll draw a comparison between Christ and the manna. And secondly, we'll draw a contrast between Christ and the manna. And thirdly, we conclude by an application. We'll apply it and see. So as I said, because of the comparison and the contrast, I mean, it will be Exodus 16, 11 to 36, and that of John chapter 6, from 47 to 51 we just read. That's where we can have the better view of the comparison. So the first thing, Christ and the manna compared. As the manna was given miraculously and freely of God without any merit of the Israelites to save them from starvation, and Moses said in Exodus 16, verse 15, and Moses said unto them, "This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat." This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. So is the salvation of Christ given miraculously and graciously of God to every man that believes in him. Christ's salvation, we have it, we get it without works. How did these people have the manna? God just rained it to them. What did they do? They did nothing. So is the salvation of Christ. It is of pure grace. It is of God's own initiative to give Christ to save us. The manna was given to just feed them for their bodies. God also knows that our soul needs spiritual life, and that life is in Christ. So as he did miraculously gave the manna, miraculously Christ also came into this world. Consider his birth. How was he born? It was the Holy Spirit that put him there. And then his survival, he lived with that sin and so many things that happened. And his life was a miracle. And he did also so many miracles. So Christ himself was given to us freely. That's the first thing we note. The second comparison we can also make of this, that as the manna was initially strange to the Israelites, as they said, it is manna, for they wished not what it was. Exodus 16:15. It was strange to them initially. When they saw the manna, it was something new. And it's as if they didn't believe what God told them. Well, God has told them that he's going to give them food. So at least it shouldn't have been too much a strange thing to them. But it was strange. So was Christ when he came into this world. He was even a stranger to his own people because of unbelief. Why are many people, how is Christ stranger to many people today? Because of unbelief. Many people, they mention the name of Christ, they read it in the Bible, but they are strange to him. They can't see him. Because if you don't see Christ beyond the physical, that he has something for your soul, that he came to this world because of our sin, because of damnation of sin that is hanging upon our head, and that you trust yourself on him and his work on the cross of Calvary, and you just have Christ in your mind that, oh, yeah, Jesus Christ, Christmas will come, Jesus Christ, Easter will come, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. And, I mean, that is it. It's a stranger to you. Because it was a promise. It was a promise that God gave that one day he will bring a redeemer. And that all Asian people of old were looking up to that, up to the coming of Christ. But we have the record that he has come. And what did he come to do? He came to offer himself as a ransom for our souls and to satisfy the wrath of God on the cross of Calvary for our sin. And this is the main focus of Christ's coming. And if you don't know Christ as this and trust in this, you are a stranger to him. So this thing was stranger to them. I think I have to come to the tree later. Yesterday, the person can an opinion say, yebe fa abodo no a yankopode ma Israel for war. Christ, and so on, also, no, yeah, will be official by a how day aduane ah sunsun aduane eba abrae so wa obenji no di no obenya saa sunsun aduane ah ye da nkwa ene ye ka se ye behwe se Kristo one mana no mesimo omo ese ye no so akwa mesimo Kristo ni mana no sunsun ye wo mu ntem na ewie so a ye de ya fa ye sunya di bi nso efi mu ene ye ka se de edi kan no mana no ana bodu na ye medi ma Israel fo no but the momo and now omo anya djuma bia onu ana eto e de ma omo e onwade a oyede ma omo yesa so Kristo so ba asasi su no e na ma onwade so yakopon e de ma ye a ya anya djuma bia so mbe wu no fa ne kra entwa ho ensi ho ma ye na ne mu jan ho e ho ye bone na wa wo beji no edi no na onya da enkwa ni yesa so ka se oba aye no mana no a yede ma Israel for wo ese ni so no na e ade a I say aso omo I had hope from omo no mu hu de tie ni se Christians ana Christians so oba asasi so no na ni onu an kasa ne hu ko for ro kwa no omo ni so no kone kwa Christo no if you say na omo ni didi ni e ka se anje ndi e ko so ene enso ni pa bebre ni Christo e do ma no omo bu omo kan oba gu mu na so se de Christo an kasa ho tie no enye sana senti no mbo ni di na ye se obepem se obehu Kristo se wo ye waje nkwa se obewu o Calvary odi ne moja hwe gu ye e ma obo ni ti na do rebe shi mo waje nkwa na ma o sada nkwa ni o ye hope o di ma so Christ is stranger to many people today because of unbelief. And there's another comparison we are making also is this, that the manna was able to satisfy everyone, young and old. So is Christ's blessing of salvation to all persons of tribe and race. Christ is able to satisfy every sinner. Mention your sin. If you come to Christ, it will be pardoned, and it will take the punishment of it away. And whatever the sin has done to you, Christ will let it. You have His Spirit within you, and that all those misery and guilt will be done away. And it's the same thing for a young child or an adult. When you come to Christ, the experience is the same. The joy of Christ is the same. Black, white, red or brown, whoever your color is, the same thing is able to satisfy everyone. Let's look at Paul and Peter. Who was Paul? We can say that Paul was a murderer or was chasing a Christian to kill them. But when Paul was converted, it was the same as when Peter too was converted. They all had the same joy. Paul did not say, "Oh, I have been a murderer for years, so my joy wouldn't be so complete." Peter wouldn't say that, "Oh, for me, I was just a fisherman, Christ called me, so I will have more joy than Peter." No, it was the same joy of salvation they all had. The kind of righteousness they all had is the same. No matter how much or how many your sins are, just one righteousness that can cover all the sins that we have ever done. Hunger for righteousness, let it be so little or much, when it is filled with the righteousness of Christ, it shall be fully satisfied. I'm craving after Christ. Somebody also is craving after Christ. Our sins are different. Our situations are different. But when we come to Christ, our sins are all covered. The thief on the cross, and anyone here who is not being hung on the cross, when he comes to Christ, the same satisfaction for their sins are met. So it's the same thing. Christ, God gave the manna for the Israelites. They were younger people, they were older people, they all ate it, they were satisfied. So Christ also, His righteousness satisfies every need of our sin, so that we can be purged of it. The next comparison we make is that the manna was equally shared among them, as in Exodus chapter 16, verse 18. And when they did eat, when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over. He that gathered little had no lack. So is Christ equally to all who trust in Him for salvation. Look, when they gathered the manna, some had gathered much, some had gathered little, but when they went put together, they measured it, they had all equally the same, manna. It's not the same thing. The portion of Christ, when adoption, what Christ gives us, when Christ saves us, we have a term called adoption. He adopts us into the family of God. And our portion in that the covenant of grace where we have this adoption is the same. We have heaven. We have Christ's blood washing us from all our sin. The same blood. We are justified with the same righteousness. We are pardoned by the same atonement. Our entitlement, our blessing of grace, the working of grace in our heart, how the Spirit deals with us, the measure of grace is the same. Though our work might be different, God will assign different work to us, but our interest in Christ is the same. The eternal glory and happiness, our hope in heaven is the same. When we go to heaven, there's not going to be like these people, they came in late, so they are going to have a little of Christ. No. If a sinner believes on Christ, he's the same as Paul, who also did the whole work for the church. The portion of inheritance in heaven is the same. The joy of salvation is the same. So you see that Christ satisfies such needs. The idea, and also no say, I say, Christo, and out, you know, two man, I know, a man, I know, and also be a chimney, so be also. Now, you can say, Samson, a Christo, in fact, you know. Ɛsuno biara so ɛmfa ho ne ɔbɔ ne a wayɛ ɛmfa ho ne sɛ ɔbɔ no wayɛ kɛse wayɛ ketewa anaasɛ woyɛ akora anaasɛ woyɛ panyin sɛ wode wore hyɛ kristo mu a kyenne ne ɔde ma obiara ɛna ne ɔde ma obiara nsunsunyɛ bi anim na ɛsan so ka sɛ anigye a ɛnya wɔ nkwagyeɛ mu sɛ ɛne mfaso a ɛnya fim sɛ bia deɛ ɛbɔ ne bɛkyɛ yɛn sɛ ɛbɛnya ne kyenne sɛ nyankopɔn heaven a wapromise ama yɛn sɛ daakye ɛbɛkɔ no. It's the same thing to all of us. When they had the manna, they all had the same joy. So we will all have the same joy when we have all come to Christ. Those who have been in Christ before us will not have the portion of heaven more than us. We shall all have the same portion. Because remember the parable that Christ gave, that some came to labor in the field, the latest of the hour, and some came to labor the whole day. And some remember that why has he given them the same portion as the other? He said that it is his to give to whomever he will. And that he calls some early, he calls some late. So it is not late when you come, the same joy we shall have in heaven. And another thing that we also look at, we contrast with the manna with Christ is this. The manna was white in color, which typified the innocence and the holiness of Christ. He was born and lived without sin, which qualifies him for his sacrifice for sin to be accepted by God instead of sinners. Why was Christ's sacrifice accepted? Because he was without sin. If there should be any spot of sin in Christ, God will never have accepted it. That is why in the Old Testament, you see, before they carry any animal for sacrifice, it should be without blemish and spot. For those animals were standing as a type of Christ when he comes. So the manna was white, which signified the pure nature of Christ. Nobody ever accused him of sin, and he never sinned. And that is why he is able to be our Savior. That is why it's also that there's no Savior in any other religion. Because there's no Savior there who died for their sin. And until sin is taken away, until sin is washed away, there can be no communion with God. We are separated forever from God. If there's sin in our life that has not been forgiven us, has not been washed with the blood of Christ, it will never give us any access to God. So, it's so much a thing that many people go to church as to seek other things from the things concerning their soul. It's a pity. It's a waste of time that people will go to church and then go and seek for other things while their sin is remaining in them. Then, what is it? It is that they want to live their life and have nothing of Christ. But Christ has died. His righteousness is pure. The next thing that we also look at as by comparison is that the manna was sweet to taste, as we read, like wafers made with honey. The manna was sweet to taste. There was a sweetness in the taste of the manna. So is Christ to every soul that has tasted his gospel by faith in him. The joy of saving grace working in the heart of a soul embittered by sin is to us, 1 Peter 2:3 says that have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You know, that is why those who have seen the Lord in their life before they come to Christ, they appreciate Christ a lot. They appreciate Christ a lot. And it should be the same for everyone. So long as we see that our sin is a problem. When you see somebody who has been molested by alcohol, destroy with his life.
And such a person has a comfort and trusted in Christ. The joy and the change of life that will come to him. Look at if somebody who was a prostitute, and that person has had a love of Christ and have come to Christ. You see the bitter of sin, the bitterness of sin that has so marred his life, changed to a joy of life. Such a person will never exchange anything for Christ. But sometimes we thought of our sin that it was so little, that is why we don't see much of the sweetness or the graciousness of our salvation. But if we should, even if our sin, so little it was, if we realize that, so little it would have taken us to hell, to be damned for eternity, we would never trifle with our joy of salvation. We would be gracious that God has saved us. But because sometimes we think that, I grew up in a Christian family, okay, and along the line, I give myself to Christ, so, okay. No, but if whatever it is, wherever you were bred, whether in the ghettos, wherever it is, if you have been brought to Christ and you knew the nature of sin and what it was procured for you at the end of life, you see the graciousness of the salvation of Christ. So until we have seen that, we wouldn't see. Many souls are embittered by sin. Many souls have been destroyed by sin. And they go on carelessly, they don't know. They laugh over it. But look at you and I, if we have come to Christ, what Christ has done for us. So it is that you can come wherever your sin is. So you taste the sweetness of Christ. Sin is bitterness. Sin is like a bitter leaf in the drinking water. But yet, until you see your eyes are opened, you will drink the bitterness with your water, you wouldn't feel it. Until your taste has been given to the spiritual taste has been given you. You continue with sin day after day, and you don't consider yourself as a sinner. The year council and also say, "Guys, now man alone so no ne color ne fita ne say self fita no try say Christo and so by no na boni biye ni no na Christo oyobia ya kunkunkun na ma ya wo no obesa asa so anya boni da inti eno hunti no sumi jina ho aye. Na yeka Kristo nso aden na ekyerese Kristo ahotoso ani enije ode ma boni obi oba ne nchan obi a boni ama na brabo ayebasa so ba Kristo ho a nkwaje onya ne enije a onya no ema nipa no tese ma obi a bonwono de bonwono tuni usio na ono ma onti ne mum se ne taste mesi ma ne o taste ade ne ba. Who say yes, money? I do not a idea. Any sana etie who Christu a na biasa. So that Christ brings sweetness to our lives, even while we are here. You see, this life is full of so many, many troubles, affliction, illnesses, poverty, inconveniences, disappointment. And day after day, we are angered over so many things. But if our heart is resting on Christ, when those things come, we are able to have joy and still go on with life. I think yesterday I told a friend of mine that both rich people and poor people, God made them. And he opened his mouth. What? That's never heard before. Because most churches around, what they feel that when you are poor, because of some, which you are being bewitched, when your business is not going on well, somebody is doing so, they never knew that. He never thought of that. Poverty, God has made poverty. And I told him that, has he seen plants that, like tomatoes, or has he seen that plants, they are not of the same type? Go to the field. You see that in the garden, the same flower, some are tall, some are shorter. The fruit that you get from tomatoes, some are straight, some are nice, some are not. So it's the same with creation. I mean, when the sun and the moon, if you compare, if God should give both to the sun, who would have lived in this world? So you see, God
made all these things so that we appreciate his goodness. So whatever my situation, wherever God has cast me, I don't have any excuse of not coming to him. No matter how bitter my life has been, Christ will make it sweet. So that we can, when we trust in him, he will make things sweet for us. And the last thing we also compare here is this. The manna was to be eaten for sustenance to the rich, their destination. Exodus chapter 16, verse 35. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. So also faith in Christ is the only spiritual food that can keep the soul of the saved till heaven is reached. In heaven, there will be no need of faith, for then we shall see Christ as he is. There's no faith in heaven. We need faith on this earth. So that's why we have to trust in him. In heaven, we shall see him as he is. There will be no faith in heaven. We ask Christ that he will come and be with me where I am. We'll see him face to face. So there will be no faith in heaven. So the spiritual food for the soul is faith in Christ while we are on this earth. As the manna sustained them for all those years till they got to the border of Canaan. So coming to Christ, putting your faith in him, trusting on his work that he did upon the cross of Calvary for sinners such as us. He poured his blood. He gave himself freely for us. When we trust in him, he gives us his faith. That will keep us. That is the life of the believer. That's the life that keeps us. So that immediately we are ushered into heaven, faith is gone. We see him as he is. Said the council, they said, So faith is needed while we are here. And without your faith in Christ, you have no life. So quickly, let's see how we can contrast. Because normally the types, it always has to have a contrast where we see purely the nature of Christ. I mean, the nature of what Christ is, the real figure. The types are just images that it gives us what it is. Here, the Lord did not only compare himself to the manna, but also by contrast, that the manna, no matter how excellent it was, only answered the need of a physical hunger, which did not last. But the life that Christ gives to those who believe in him satisfies a spiritual need, that is eternal life. The manna, what happened? They ate it. As Christ told them, he said that in John chapter 49-50, he said that, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Referring to himself, this is the bread. Your fathers did eat the manna, and they are dead. Is that not the same thing? All the things that we can have in this world, what? We die and leave them. But when our soul is saved, it carries on to eternity. Is that not the same thing? These people ate the manna in the wilderness, and they are dead. So that the manna does not answer a spiritual need. It answers only a physical need. But Christ, life in Christ, answers a spiritual need for eternity. Christ is the bread of life. Faith in him is the food of the soul. Which means that without faith in Christ, your soul is empty, starved of spiritual life, and heading into eternal damnation, which is eternal death. So any one of us here, without the life of Christ in us, we are starving our soul. And finally, we will be separated from eternal life, and then eternal damnation will be. And in hell, there will be torment, as I said before, and also there will be no opportunity for your soul. So that the soul will be so dry. Look at yourself, the physical test. When you are so dry that you need some water to drink, and there's no proper water around. Especially those who travel in the wilderness and the desert, they can tell you how water is so precious. So that the soul also without Christ, it's like that. You are starving, but because of sin, you might not see it. Let's see another contrast. Although he also came from heaven as a manna, yet this was an offering up of his body as a sacrifice for sin. The manna was given freely from heaven, but his life that his bread or the life he gave is his life. He gave himself as a sacrifice. His giving is a sacrificial one. The manna wasn't a sacrificial one. The manna couldn't give eternal life to anyone.
man overcome, born in sin, living in sin, doing everything with sin, needed something which can take away the sin away. Not daily food and provision, a good business, good. No. All that a man had can never buy a minute or a second of his life. All that we have is nothing compared to what Christ will give us. So in John 6:55-51, Christ said, "And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." In contrast, he is giving his flesh, his body, as sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. While his blood washes away our sin, he meets and satisfies the wrath of God. So Christ's sacrifice on the cross appeases God's wrath for a sinner that believes in him, thereby justifying him. It also sanctifies the sinner, offering life to the sinner that believes in him, instead of eternal death, which is the reward of the sinner. You see, when you believe, the reward that is awaiting you, which is eternal death, is taken away, and eternal life is given you. So that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. In Romans 3:25, about Christ, say, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, whom God has given to set forth propitiated to satisfy the wrath of God. And through faith in his blood, when you believe on him, he becomes our righteousness, our forgiveness of sins that are past, and the sins that we continue to do. So you see that by contrast, Christ giving himself as the bread for the soul is by a sacrifice. And that is all that man needed. And man couldn't have sacrificed himself. Man couldn't sacrifice himself. Even if he sacrificed himself, God would not accept, because we ourselves are sinners. So there needed to be someone who is pure, and it's God himself who can do that. And Christ, he has to come in the person of Christ and to die on the cross and to give us eternal life. So our third part, to come to our conclusion, let's look at the application that we have. And my application is that that salvation of the believer is an instant thing. It's something that does not delay. It's an instant thing. The Lord promised the Israelites food to sustain them, and it was not something they had later when they reached Canaan. It was a real and instant. In Exodus 16:15, and when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, "It is manna, for they wist not what it was." And Moses said to them, "This is the bread which the Lord has given you." The Lord immediately promised, and immediately the manna came. It was an instant thing, something which came as the Lord have said it. Therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Very, very, I say unto you, that he that believeth on me has everlasting life." And he did not say that he that believeth on me shall have. Has. We will have it. So if I don't have the life of him, because I haven't believed on him. Eternal life is an instant thing. It's not something to be had in the near future. It is the most comforting thing to know that eternal life from Jesus Christ to the believer is an instant thing. Other than that, it will have been a wretched situation. I believe on him, and I'm just conjecting, am I saved or not saved? Or when am I going to know that I'm saved? No, it's an instant. He gives to us immediately we believe on him. It is not said that you shall have it at last. It's that at the judgment day, even now, when you trust in him, you come confessing your sin, forsaking all you have done, and come and ask him, he'll give you. It's not something that you have it later. In 51, he said that if a man eats of this bread, he shall live forever. Have we ever heard that everybody, anyone is living on this earth without a life? It's no. All those who are living are called what? They are alive. So anyone who is claiming to be a believer should have the life of Christ. So if I don't have the life of Christ in me, then I'm not a believer. I'm not. So it is impossible. You eat before, you don't eat and get a satisfaction later. Whoever eats and wait to be satisfied tomorrow, no. Immediately you eat, you are full. So is Christ. Immediately you believe in him, you are full of him. He comes into your heart. So it's a delusion, self-delusion, that forgiveness and acceptance with God are things which we cannot expect in this life. And it is sad that many churches, who tell you that, oh, you have to work on your salvation, so you have to continue until I mean, you do, then it is full, then you're able to have a salvation. Maybe you should go and continue, ask something in purgatory, you go there and continue until you are totally saved. No, it's something we have when we believe on Him. Okay, some also believe that church attendance, good deeds, and devotion, and those things will continue until we go to the day of judgment, and God will weigh our good and our bad, and say, oh, you did so many good things, so good. You did so many bad things. No, it's not so. It is false, it's complete false to think so. Salvation is something we have it. We have it here. It's not waiting. Our eternal possession is for those who are saved here. The eternal possession is for those who are saved here. So if you are not saved while you are here, forget about heaven. So in coming to my conclusion, the very moment a sinner repents from his sin, empties himself of self-righteousness and importance, denies himself of comfort from lies, lustful and covetous desires. You know that the main problem many will not come to Christ is because of a particular sin in a person's life. It could be any form. All of us have our certain sins. It could be pride, arrogance, it could be lust, it could be covetousness, name it, whatever it is. And the person loves you so much. You know that David said that if I regard iniquity in my heart, that will not hear me. And it's true. Whenever there's a remnant of a sin in a person's heart, no, God will not hear him. But a sinner coming have to give himself all and come to Christ. You cannot hold all the sin and throw it. No, you have the will that, oh Lord, I'm coming. Save me from this sin. Wash me from this sin. And trust in him for his salvation. And he saves you, and those things begin to go away. So is it that whatever sin that holds me, I have to let it go. I have to let it see my hate for that sin. And then God, will come to my salvation. When you believe in Christ's atoning sacrifice on the cross for sinners, you are justified, you are accepted. There's no more condemnation. Now the Bible says there's now no more condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. There's no more condemnation. You have peace with God instantly and without delay. God sends you his peace. His name, whoever does that, is recorded in the book of life. And no matter how the faith might be, ever either little, some, when they believe, show forth a bigger faith. Some also have a little faith. You know, remember Nicodemus. We did not even know that he got saved until later when Christ died. But there were others like Peter and others who were following Christ with vigor. It doesn't matter. They are all saved. They all have the same title to heaven. Death, hell, and Satan cannot remove it. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. As we read in Romans chapter 8. Nothing. When I'm saved, I'm saved. But if I'm saved and I don't know what my life is, and I'm afraid I'm going to even lose it, then what is life? It's a life that is giving me, that should be with me. Immediately I repent of my sin, and I come to Christ and ask him, and I ask of his mercy, and he should forgive me. Immediately my sins are washed away. My standing is the same as somebody who have come to Christ for hundreds of years. It's the same thing. Happy is anyone who knows this and has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. These things, the instantness of salvation, something which is very important that all of us who have come to Christ have to keep it in our heart. And those who want to come should put it ahead of them that immediately you believe, you have it. Then I ask the question, has all of us here believed in Lord Jesus Christ? Have we seen his life as the only thing that gives eternal life? Have we ever considered it? Or maybe we sometimes consider and we let it go. No. As daily as you wake up, you cannot do away without your water and your food for the body. It should be that you shouldn't do going up and down without yourself knowing for sure where you stand before Christ. Have you fed on him? He's the life. He's the life that he gave to the whole world. He didn't give to a particular people in the world. He gave it to the whole world. Ghanaians, Europeans, whoever you are, you come to Christ, he saves you. And God has opened his hand. It's ever open. It is only closed when you die out of this world. It's only closed when Christ comes again. So while we have life today, it's an opportunity to come, to feed on Christ. And in feeding on him, you are sustained till you get to heaven. And then the joy of life begins. Who will not do this? Who would they want this? But you know, the life we live nowadays, because of so much of troubles and so many things, people travel with so many things. People are not sure with so many things. But for this particular thing, I urge you, to be serious about it, so that you see that your life is in Christ and that you are feeding on Him by faith. You have put your eyes on Him. You have trusted on Him for your salvation. For salvation is not in any other. It's not in anything you do. Do as you please. It will never please God, because nobody can be accepted without faith before God. Do as you please. Be the most principal person in life. Do what you please. But without Christ, there's no salvation for you. Your faith in Christ is what matters. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. All those who walk by faith, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and if you go to Hebrews chapter 11, you see, all of them, they were accepted because of their faith. Not because of their anything. It was never recorded that any of them, yeah, they did a lot of good things. Remember Abraham and Lot, when they were coming to part, Lot, Abraham, a good man, told Lot, take that you want, and then I'll take the rest. It was a good thing. But if you imagine, he did a good work. Even, and there was a conflict between them, he tried to solve it quietly. But God, the Bible never recorded that thing was the reason why God called him his friend, and that the father of righteousness. No, because he trusted in Christ. Because he knew Christ will come one day. As Christ told the Jews that your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he was glad. He saw the day of Christ in the Old Testament, in the things by faith. He saw that Christ is coming, and Christ will come and die for sin. And he trusted in that. And all Old Testament saints trusted in that. But you and I have the record. They didn't have this record plain as we have, and they trusted. So if anyone should let go of this life, he's letting go of his own life. It's like somebody that you are ill and there's a medicine there, and you say, well, I'm not take the medicine, and yet you are suffering. That is the state of those who have heard of Christ, and it's like, and they are never concerned about it. May the Lord help each one of us to consider these things and see what really life it is. That it is not life to live without Christ. And as we come to church day after day, what will it be? The joy that you also have known Christ, and we worship together with one heart. It should be the joy of heaven and the joy of all of us here. Else, coming to church, you never know real joy. It will be nothing. But you come to Christ and commit your life unto Him. Let's